We greet each of you this evening in the worthy name of Jesus, the one who our faith must be anchored to. And I trust that all of you had a good day. I trust you've come praying. And I trust that God again will speak to each of our hearts, mine first of all, tonight. Last night we looked at food as something that we very naturally can struggle with, something very natural. It's good in its place. In fact, it's wonderful in its place. But I wonder sometimes if we understand how God sets all those things up as far as what happens, and like we shared last night or looked at last night, what happens when we consciously deprive ourselves of what we want. Now, tonight's subject has similarities, but it's not moderation. Last night's subject was moderation. Tonight's is not moderation. Tonight's subject is purity in personal life. And friends, tonight, again, we've talked, probably every evening, we've talked about the fact that you can't see me, you can't see my heart, I can't see your heart. I don't know what all is going on. No idea. I've had complete freedom this week. But let me remind you, God knows. And I hope this subject is an encouragement to you tonight. It's not meant to make anybody... It's not meant to bring shame to anybody. It's simply meant to be an encouragement or to warn or whatever the case may be. But friends, tonight, I just want to encourage us that this is such a vital area that God wants us to have victory in. God wants us to not only, you know what, sometimes I think this subject is you get the picture, you talk to people and they're about despairing, and I hope there's nobody here tonight that is, but if you are, I know what that's like, and many people know what that's like, where it just feels like it's a constant battle, and I don't think that's what God designed, and I trust tonight that we can look at His Word and see what He has to tell us in there, because we have to still take this book and we have to say, what does this say about my problems in life? If I'm an undisciplined person or given to gluttony or whatever the case may be, what does this book say about these problems in life? And if I am not living in victory in moral things, in purity things, then what does this book say about it? And we have to be willing to apply it to our lives. That's how God set it up for all ages, for all of time. This book will never become extinct. It'll never get out of date. And friends, tonight, there's people sitting in prison right now. There was a person from our area back home that when the whole story was told, and I shudder to even talk about it tonight, but when the whole story was told, it revealed a pattern of over 30 years of living in complete deceit. And tonight, if there's some battles going on in your mind and heart, please take courage and let God get a hold of those things right now. I'm sure at the beginning of those 30 years, there were probably times when this man thought, you know what, I need to quit this. Maybe even after 5 years or 10 years or 15 years, I need to quit this. But somehow the devil gets a foothold in people's lives, just like he does with food. And he keeps saying, you know what, a little bit more and a little bit more, until instead of eating to live, we're living to eat. And this area can be so tricky, and he can keep such tight grips on people. And I just pray tonight that if there's anything in any of our hearts tonight, that we'll just be willing to be honest. Because if we were honest tonight, we would have to say this is not a foreign subject. This is not something that somebody needs to say, well, you know, yeah, I just have no idea what you're talking about. No, friend. Let's turn to James chapter 1, verses 13 to 15. It tells us some things tonight about this sin and about this problem. James chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." And we probably should turn to Proverbs chapter 22 as well, or sorry, Proverbs chapter 7, verse 22. And I don't know what your battle is tonight, if you have a battle. I hope to cover some different areas of temptations or battles tonight. But friends, tonight, it might not be the same for all of us, but there are battles along these lines, and God wants those battles, and God wants to lead us to victory in these battles. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 22 says, "He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through the liver as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." And notice what it says there, "Yea, many strong men have been slain by her." This is not just the weak and immature. Friends, tonight, we've covered some different subjects this week, and we need God's help in every area of life. But may I just highlight that a little tonight when it comes to living a life of personal purity? We desperately need God's help. James puts it so well that there's a pattern there. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You see, temptation is here. Temptation is not wrong. But then when you start getting drawn away and getting enticed, that's where it's wrong. And you know the end of the path there. It says he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. That's when there is sin there. And it started with going away from that temptation, not handling that temptation correctly. And I'm not here tonight to tell you that temptations are just going to constantly be there and you're just going to constantly be bombarded. No, I think we can get past those things in life. But we have to understand how temptations work. Temptations are designed by the enemy of our soul, and he wants to get us somewhere. James calls it death. Proverbs calls it hell. It's very, very serious. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness." The works of the flesh are introduced with sins of lust and impurity. I don't know if you've ever thought of that or not, but the works of the flesh are introduced with sins of lust and impurity. And then in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 to 20, and I'm not sure that we're going to read all these verses. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1. "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands before they eat?" Friends, tonight, I just want to encourage us. Let's not get things confused and backward. These Pharisees thought, you know what, these people, they're in trouble because their hands might not be perfectly clean before they eat. And yet these Pharisees were doing things that made that look like nothing. And Jesus, in essence, is telling them, you don't understand. That's not where the problem lies. And we'll just go to the end of the passage here. Verse 17, "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? But these things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." And friends, let me just refer back to James chapter 1 when it talks about going away from that lust, or going away from that temptation, ending in lust, ending in sin, and then ending in death. That's where the problem is. When it gets to the heart. "They come forth from the heart and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts." Jesus is getting to the heart of the matter murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. And when Jesus gets to the heart of the matter, out of the seven sins he lists, three can be traced to sins of lust and impure living. Almost 50%. Do you think Jesus cares about this subject? Absolutely. God cares about this subject. And you know what grips me tonight? That man I spoke of earlier fell into a trap. And outwardly, you would have never known anything was wrong. He kept right on doing the same spiritual things he had done for years and years and years and years and years, maybe most of his life. Kept right on doing it. Outwardly, you would have never known anything was wrong, but inwardly, there was awful, awful things going on. 1 John 1, it is not a mistake that the Bible tells us, walk in the light. Walk in the light. That's where holiness grows. That's where purity grows. That's where righteousness grows. When we walk in the light, what do I mean by walking in the light? Well, first of all, it's having this relationship with Christ that we can talk to Him about these struggles and things. But tonight I want to go on and I want to say, I think we also need to walk in the light with each other and help each other onward. And be willing to share some of these struggles. Now I'm not saying just go out and blab it and make it some light thing, but there should be people, parents or ministers or friends or people we trust that we can go to and share with and get help in these areas. I'd like to just go back a little bit with you. We're not going to spend much time with this. Just back a little bit in my background. I'm not here at all to bash my background. I hope you know that. I have no desire for that. But I will tell you tonight, there were people in the setting that I grew up, there were people that were far too ready to help lead young boys into things that they should never be into. And it's probably completely to my shame, but I don't really remember anybody saying, look, there's a better way. That there's a different way to walk. And I remember a bondage that was so strong at one time, I honestly wondered whether I would ever have victory. This was after I had become a Christian, and I was struggling and struggling and struggling to find victory. And I honestly wondered whether I would ever find victory. And I still remember those days when the Word of God became so precious, and some of the verses that are in there in the Word of God, Romans chapter 5, and maybe we'll just turn to those because I just want us to be excited about different things tonight. One is the Word of God. One is a relationship with God, and another is a relationship with others that deals with walking in the light, that deals with trust, that deals with being able to share. Romans chapter 5, verse 19 says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, tonight, this is not something where we have to be clawing for victory. And I understand what that's like. I know what that's like. But this is something where there is abundant grace available to help us to victory. But God doesn't just lay grace out there and it falls on us. And I want to encourage all of us tonight. I want to encourage you youth. If you know what victory is like in this area, help others. Spend time praying. Maybe asking God for opportunities. Remember the first night we talked about those four stages of, of what we found in the book of Isaiah, where it says he saw God and then he saw himself and then he was sanctified and then he said, here am I, send me. And I think tonight sometimes we've paid a high price. And I know you have Children's Club here, and tonight I just want to publicly thank you and commend you for doing things like that. I wish we had more of those things, and I'm not going to go into those deeply tonight, but I think tonight that's exactly what God wants this energy and resources to be used for, and that's going to help us to victory as well. Don't sit idle. Let God use the things He's done for you in your life. Let Him use it to build the kingdom and to be a blessing to others. The devil is determined to get us to fall in this area. He's very, very determined. My battle is not over. I do know what victory is, absolutely, but can I coast? Absolutely not. Am I thankful for those that have helped me in life? Absolutely. We need to be committed to purity. And I'd like to think for the rest of the evening about the mind, the filter of our heart. The mind, the filter of our heart. There's a lot said today about filters. And many times when we hear the word filter today, it's talking about technology filters. But there are so many different kinds of filters. There's water filters, there's oil filters, there's gas filters. And tonight, as we think about this subject, the mind, the filter of our heart, and I marvel at the human mind. I don't know how much time you've spent thinking about it, but I marvel at the human mind, because the human body, the Bible tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and then there are things incredible that man will never understand. They've come a long, long way, but there are things that they'll never understand. But tonight what I marvel at is that there's something intangible that holds this all together. The power of God, the brilliance and wisdom of God. There's something intangible that holds this all together. Man cannot do that. They're completely dependent on the tangible. Yet God, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And friends, tonight, I don't care how far technology goes, I don't care how far the medical world goes, they're never going to be able to duplicate that. They would love to. They'd love to say, yeah, we can do it too. But they'll never be able to. But there's a mind there. The songwriter said, God holds the germ within his hand. And tonight, Deuteronomy chapter 12, as we think about the mind, the heart, and the soul, they're very closely related. They're very closely connected. I don't know exactly what all the differences are in all areas, but Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 12 when he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. So there must at least be some difference, because Jesus said we're to love the Lord thy God with all of each of them. And you know what? One of the biggest things we deal with in life is how to get rid. And this is not limited to purity, but it's also tied to other things. People have seen that are in the mind. And now how do we get rid of those things? Or how do we let God deal with those things? And then the devil wants to bring those things back to our mind, back to our memory. Friends, tonight we need the grace of God. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 to 28. It says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And Jesus is saying something very significant here. He's telling them that this has to go deeper. You know, the Pharisees, they had laws that dealt with laws that dealt with laws. But he says this has to go deeper. This has to be something that's in your heart. And I remember relating to a man years ago that you know, it's just like so many of us and so many of the struggles that James described there. But it starts in the mind and it goes on from there and it becomes a battle. And people end up doing things they never thought they would do. But it started in the mind. Tonight, God is very, very interested in our mind. God is very, very interested in the condition of our mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's turn back just a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 1 to 5. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Friends, tonight, so, so important. We cannot win this battle with willpower. We cannot win this battle by saying, I'm going to have to do better. That may be a little part of it, but friends, this is not a physical battle. This is a spiritual battle. For though we walk in the flesh, verse 3, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And tonight I'd like to think with you about five principles of the function of a filter. Five principles of the function of a filter. And the first one is that the condition of our filter is determined by our spiritual life. And I don't think I mentioned this, and I don't know if there's people here that work out or that go running, and I'm not here to knock those things. I think physical exercise is fine. But friends, tonight, remember, the Bible calls us to spiritual exercise. The Bible calls us to spiritual exercise. The condition of our filter is determined by our spiritual life. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. And our ability to filter and block evil from taking over in our life has nothing to do with the physical and everything to do with the spiritual. Remember the story about David and Goliath, and I love this story because you can just picture it. Here's a man over 9 feet tall, and I don't know how tall David was, but I think the Bible calls him a stripling or something. He was just this little lad, and Goliath is saying, what are you sending me a... Or did he say, did you think I'm a dog? Or are you sending me a dog? Or I'm not sure exactly what he said. But in essence, what Goliath was saying is there's no way you can win. You know what David said? In essence, he said, there's no way I can lose. Because you're defying the armies of the living God. Physically, we will never win without a spiritual life, without the power of God, without remembering what Paul said, that our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And tonight, we talked about prayer life, we talked about fasting earlier in the week, but I wonder tonight, how is our devotional life? What are we doing to feed our spiritual life? And friends, tonight, there can be so many things in our heart, and we're not going to get nearly all these things covered this week, but what about pride? What about lust and greed? What about worldliness, unbelief? There's so many different things, but again, the condition of our filter is determined by our spiritual life, and I think we need to have lives, and am I perfect? I'm far, far from perfect. I need the help of God every day. And that's what reminds me to keep that spiritual life maintained. And I still have a long way to go with that. You can pray for me. But friends, tonight I think we need to be putting forth an honest effort to keep that spiritual life healthy. We don't like filters that are not healthy. And we might cover this in some of the other points, but we don't like filters that are not healthy. We don't like a water filter with a hole in it. Because eventually you wonder, is there a filter there at all? And we certainly don't like a gas filter with a hole in it. Especially not when we're 200 miles from home. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." What does that mean? How do we keep our mind stayed on God? And I love what Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7 says. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We have a responsibility tonight. We really have a responsibility tonight. Number two, filters must be installed at the beginning of where a mix of materials enters. Now, I'm not a plumber, and you wouldn't want me to come plumb your house, I'll guarantee you that. But I do know a couple basic things about plumbing. And the first is that if you're going to put a water filter in a house, you don't want to put it beyond any of the spigots. You want it before any of the spigots. At least if you're going to want to go up and just randomly get a drink of water wherever you choose to. You don't want to choose the wrong spigot. And I don't know where that, I don't know what that mix consists of for you tonight. But I know that there can be a mix. It can be billboards. It can be things at Walmart. It can be things on your phone. And by the way, tonight, I do not want to forget to talk about this because I think this is very, very real and something we can so easily fall into. And that is the fact that with all the technology and with all the texting and all the things going back and forth, I think we need to have teaching on emotional purity. That involve no pictures. That do not involve things that stir the eyes so much as things that stir the heart. But remember what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians there, where it talks about every thought. And tonight I wish I could tell you that I have this all figured out, but I think the key lies right there. That if we start letting some thoughts through and some thoughts not, we're treating our mind in a way that filter, we would pitch that filter and say, "I need a new one. I'm heading to Lowe's to get a new filter." Because it's choosing when to block and when to let things through, and it's not making good decisions. The Bible says every thought. And friends, tonight, this is part of our devotional life. This is part of spending time with God. This is part of learning how to analyze, because our enemy is going to send things that test that filter, and we have to be able to say, "No, that is not for me." That's where a mix of materials wants to enter, and he knows if he can get that process started, remember, the end is death, the end is hell. In James 1, it all started with desires. But the very purpose of a filter is to sort out the bad and let the good pass through. And the moment we come in contact, whether physically or imagining, is time for the filter to kick in. And again, friends, you know where that's at for you. There's probably people here tonight that have taken steps to guard their hearts against these things, and I commend you for that, and I want to encourage you to keep doing that, but it's worth it. Whatever it takes, it's worth it. Don't take that second look or third look. Don't go places that you know that you can't handle the temptation just now. And by the way, if that means putting your phone away for a month, put your phone away for a month. Neither James nor Proverbs mentioned phones. It didn't say that we're going to have phones. No. Jesus later taught, he said, "If your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, pluck it out. And I don't know exactly why he was going to those measures except to say, whatever it takes is worth it. And it's a little troubling to me when people say, I couldn't go 3 days without a phone. Really? And Jesus said, if your eye offends, you pluck it out. If your hand offends, you cut it off. And tonight, I just want to encourage you. I know the battle is real. But do what it takes. Do what it takes. And I'm speaking to myself. Do what it takes. Number three, our enemy knows the weak areas of our filter. And I know this kind of breaks down with water filters or gas filters because the water can't say, aha, I know a place we can head that we can get through. You know, usually we kind of, these impurities get blocked. No, it can't do that, but the enemy knows the weak areas of our filter. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He knows the weak areas of our filter. He knows areas that we've given into before. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But remember, resisting the devil is part of it, but the beginning of that verse says, submit yourselves therefore to God. And just as filters with ignored weak areas become less and less effective because more and more bad enters in. And I wonder, what's the process like in my life? Am I being faithful? Is there a hatred for sin in my life? Am I willing to share with people the things I'm struggling with or going through? Pay attention to the weak areas. The enemy knows those weak areas. I remember, I have this vivid picture of this in my mind. We used to live on a turkey farm in Virginia. And I said, you wouldn't want me as your plumber, you wouldn't want me as your farmer either, okay? I'm just, it's not really my knack. I'd rather be printing. But we lived on a turkey farm. And we had a little problem with the wall there of the turkey farm. When I was driving out, I misjudged. And the tractor tire hit the wall and broke it and had to be fixed. But before it was fixed properly, I had rigged it up and thought it was good enough, but we were having problems with skunks. Now, that's probably kind of a good analogy. You want something that's kind of disgusting that you want to stay away from pretty much at all costs. Skunks are probably the one animal you'd... And anyway, I won't go into great details, but the one night I walked into the turkey barn there and the turkeys were flopping and scattering and really being loud, and here there's a skunk chasing him down. Well, we shot the skunk. I got my brother-in-law because he's a much better shot than I am, and it needs to be a right shot, let me tell you. He shot the skunk. We got rid of it, and I went to that wall, and I shored that wall up. And this time I was even more diligent and more careful. And I remember later watching a skunk come up to that wall, and that skunk was determined, I'm getting into this turkey house. I know I am. I did it before. And it tried and tried and tried and tried. But it couldn't get in. And you know what? There's a spiritual lesson there. If I'm aware of a spiritual weakness in my life, I need to let God get a hold of that, or the enemy is going to exploit that weak area. And that leads us right to point number four. Filters must get rid of the bad. They must get rid of the bad. You know, somehow, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, it says that our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, to getting rid of these things in the name of Jesus, by the power of Jesus. In verse 5, we're instructed to cast down and to bring into captivity. And friends, tonight I remember somebody telling me during a battle I was having, somebody just kindly but bluntly telling me, I think there's a couple problems. I think you're listening to things that you shouldn't be listening to. And I'm not talking about physically, but in your head or in your mind, you're listening to things that you don't need to listen to. Those are from the enemy. And the second is you don't hate things enough. And you know, it was a powerful, powerful lesson. And I don't think that was dealing with impurity, but I think it deals with purity issues as well. There are things that we need to stay away from, and there needs to be a hatred for the things that defile. And God can give us that power. God alone can give us that power, but we need that power. And I wonder, is there a lesson in Genesis chapter 3? And I don't think we're going to turn there. I think we're going to try to close in good time again tonight. But is there a lesson in Genesis chapter 3 there when Eve talked to the serpent? I don't know. I don't know what you believe about that, but there may be a lesson there when she talked to the serpent. And the fifth point is that the end result, and we talked about this earlier, but the end result is a clear, steady stream of pure water. And tonight, if I can just highlight this point again, we covered it when we talked about Isaiah, when the fourth stage there is, here am I, send me. But friends, tonight, I'm not sure. I have pondered this because I've watched how it worked. I've watched boys get victory, but then it seems like, you know what they're spending their days doing? They get up early in the morning. They barely have time for devotions. They go out. They work a long day of work. And I'm not saying long days of work are wrong, but they come home, they're kind of exhausted, they flop down, they maybe get out their phone, which is not the thing to do just then. And I wonder if there's enough spiritual energy being poured out into God's kingdom. And I wonder if it's not a major part of the key of victory in some of these areas. And I say it to myself tonight. I have spent times in life when I was discouraged. And those are bad times for some of these things. Those are times when these things can come in, when you're spending time discouraged. Maybe you're thinking a lot about yourself. And you're going out and you're rubbing shoulders with the world. You're doing work, and I know how it is. You know, there's work things and there's work talk, and I wonder tonight, a simple question. What's life like in your mind? I trust that it's good. But I also trust that if there's anybody here tonight that says, no, it's not good. There's things going on in there. It may not even involve phones. But there's things going on in there that are not the way they should be. And if there is, I just want to encourage you tonight, make it known. Make it known. That there are times in life when I wish I would have made things known quicker than I did. But making things known, and remembering the principle of the Bible where it talks about walk in the light as he is in the light. And we're going to have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. But it comes from walking in the light. And then let that water flow through you no matter what stage you're at. Maybe tonight you're a young Christian, or you're a youth, or an older single, or you're a mother or father or grandfather or grandmother. But let that clear, pure water. You see, filters, I don't think the ladies on this side of the house would be very happy if the plumber came and said, we're done. I have made sure that there's going to be no impurity in your water. Oh, wonderful. Thank you. And you go turn the water on just to check, and nothing comes out. Oh, yeah, I guess I just took care of one part of the problem. Friends, tonight, what God wants is exactly the opposite. He wants both those things taken care of. Where there is a filter there that's blocking out the bad, but there is clear, pure water. The water of life, the water of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. Is that our experience tonight? Are we at that stage of purity? Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Our Father in heaven, tonight, We thank you for this little time we could spend together looking at your word. Lord, we realize this is a subject that we desperately need your help in. This is an area of life that we desperately need your help in. Whether it's with emotional purity or physical purity. Tonight, you know our hearts. You know our minds. Thank you that you do. We pray that if there's anybody here tonight that would have a need, that they would be willing to make it known. Thank you that you're faithful. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is faithful. We commit the next minutes to you as we sing. May your Spirit search our hearts, and may we be faithful, open, and honest for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we'll have two verses of song again. If there's a need in your life, I urge you. I told you the first or second evening, I don't believe in emotional invitations, and I don't. But I just urge you and encourage you tonight, if God has spoken to you about an area in your life, and I think the common practice is just raise your hand and go to the back. Somebody will help you. Let's sing two verses of song tonight.